Good morning. So this morning, I'm going to invite Shauna and Justin Carroll to come forward. It's almost here, what we prepared for in anticipating the coming of Christmas. So on the altar table, we have this wreath with the Advent candles, and this wreath symbolizes everlasting love and life for us through God. The four candles lead us to Christmas, and the fifth candle symbolizes Christ. And so I'm turning this over to these wonderful carols. Actually, that's sort of funny. It's leading, yeah, the carols, right? Christmas carols.
Yep. Yeah. All right. As we light this candle of hope, we are thrilled by the surprising ways that Christ will break through our lives and the lives of others. As we light this second candle of love, we commit to loving ourselves and others with Christ-transforming love. As we light the third candle of joy, we experience the joy of living together in the kinship of Jesus Christ. And as we light this fourth candle of peace, we know that the birth of Jesus Christ brings to all persons God's hope, love, and joy, and that lasts forever, no matter the challenges and changes in our lives. Amen.
Bum, bum. bum, 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 bum. Me and my drum.
Behold, behold, the one, our King is come. our God with us forever. Father, we are so grateful for this day that we get to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the purpose of this season. We thank you for the message that it brings. And we thank you for the continuous love that you show us now and always. And we ask for those that are in this room today and those that were not able to make it this morning, that you also continue to show them that love. Remind us what this season is for. Remind us why you brought your Son to earth for us, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love and your understanding. Help us to remember what this season is about and to continue that for the rest of our year, God. So the celebration of Advent and Christmas, we thank you. Thank you, God. Amen.
Angels tried when you keep
Thank you, Courtney. And thank you, worship band. So here we are at Harmony, this faith community, and we're just a couple of days away from Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Taking the deep breath. Yes, indeed, we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ's child. And so how does that make you feel? And so that's the question of the day. We're going to take only about a minute and a half, turn to your neighbor and just exchange. How does this make you feel as we're about to approach in 2 days' time, Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day? Let's take that moment right now. Okay, there we go. Look at that sharing. I see, right? They just keep going, right? They just keep going. Awesome. All right, so I appreciate that you're sharing with one another, and it's going to be interesting to see, was there peace involved in that, right? But this morning we're going to conclude our sermon series, Home for Christmas, Tales of Hope and Second Chances. And we started this, and I'm going to give you a quick recap, because we started it off and we said, and we talked about the hope that God offers all of us. And that this hope is what gives us reason to look with thrilling anticipation for what's to come. And then we followed hope with love, and Pastor Brody spoke about radical love. Love that, radical love. And knowing that God's love is steadfast, and we give thanks for that love, especially when we feel we've used up all our second chances. Think about that, that we've used all our second chances and God still loves us. That is amazing. And last Sunday was about joy, and we learned that God rejoices in us. And that's a very important, that God rejoices in us. And that this joy allows us to rejoice in each other and with each other. And then this morning, knowing all of this, we're going to put together. And the question is well, what does peace look like? Well, so when I thought about this, the first thing I thought about is goes back in time, and peace for my grandfather. So peace for my grandfather. And my grandfather was, I called him Papa Des. And so peace for him was sitting on a boat on a lake when we were going to go fishing. And you see, my family, and I may have mentioned this before, we had a 600-plus acre ranch. And it had several lakes on it, and so and it was off from the road a bit, so it was in the country, off the road, so there wasn't any concern for interruptions of modern society, as we know. And but the exception was, interruption-wise at least, was me, because I was 7, 8, 9 years old, and I have to tell you, I was full of energy. If you think I was full of energy now, I was really full of energy then, but I was so full of energy because I wanted to learn everything I could about Papa. Papa had such wisdom, and I just looked up to him. And so, but what he wanted in those moments on the lake was peace and quiet. And so what he would do is he'd look at me. We'd be in the boat, and I'd be at one end, and he'd be at the other. And he'd look at me, and he'd go, and he'd whisper, "Shh, Mark, the fish. They can hear you." And that's then when we would have peace and quiet until we landed and got a fish on the hook. Now, if you were to ask me about personal peace, probably immediately what comes to mind is I would think of places and spaces where I connect with God. And some of those places have been when I was in Maui and in the midst of a tropical rainforest. I will share a God moment with you one day about what happened there, or when I was hiking up in the breathtaking Machu Picchu in Peru, or just recently I was sitting by in Ribblesdale Park, England, and just taking in the forest in which I was in and these rolling streams. Or I would say, and it reminded me when I was writing this about Tracy. Tracy and Sarah love the beach, and to me, that's where I also get peace, as when I'm at the beach. It doesn't matter what beach, right? It's just being there and hearing the sounds of the ocean. Now, for others, gotta tell you, they might describe peace as being isolated, where walls are built up, separating themselves from others, feeling safe and secure in their isolation. Or if we want to flip it, it's isolating others to make themselves feel safe and secure. Now, while peace and quiet can bring stress relief, and while awesome places and spaces provide those opportunities for solace and inspiration, and while separation from others can give the illusion that peace has arrived, peace in the hands of humanity can only last so long. It is typically circumstantial. It's a type of peace that comes and that goes rather quickly. This kind of peace eludes us. In point of fact, separation and isolation don't bring wholeness in our lives. Let me ask, if separation is part of the equation for peace,
the peace that we seek in whatever form separation may mean to you or me or all of us, is that truly in sync with the gospel? Is that in sync with what Jesus tells us? Is that in line with what God says about peace and who it is that ultimately brings peace into our lives? So what I'm going to do is to help us center into this theme. Let's listen to these words that were spoken by the prophet Micah from long ago. And I'm going to invite Pastor Bridie to share this morning's scripture reading with us. And it comes from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a.
As for you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are the least significant of Judah's forces, one who is to be a ruler in Israel on my behalf will come out of you. His origin is from remote times, from ancient days. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor gives birth. The rest of his kin will return to the people of Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, they will dwell secure, because he will surely become great throughout the earth. He will become one of peace.
Thank you, Pastor Bridie. Straight up, I got to tell you, there's some great history. There's some great history in the scripture and throughout the book of Micah, and I'm not going to put a whole lot of emphasis on this. There are some key points, though, that I do want to bring out and share with you. At the time of this writing, we're talking around 735 BC, a long time ago, right? Well, there had been a long period of peace for Judah and other regional nations when this was being written. But this peace that was being enjoyed was soon to not be so enjoyed because Assyria was about to invade. There was this threat looming. And so this wasn't a time where there was peace on earth, goodwill to all, and it only got worse because later, about 100 years later, that's when Judah fell. And Judah fell hard into the hands of the Babylonians. Now, before all of this occurred, though, the prophet Micah had predicted there's going to be some difficult times. You're about to go through it. It's not going to be pretty. Divine judgments were made against Judah and Jerusalem, and it was judgments of captivity and exile. And in fact, here's a did you know that Micah was the first prophet to predict the downfall of Jerusalem? Now, indeed, he was, and yet, even with this harsh judgment, because that's darn harsh, right, of a downfall, promises of restoration were also made, and that would follow in time. So what Pastor Bridie read, what that was doing was providing the people, and they were saying, here is something of expectation and encouragement. And that said, here's what the people thought about when they heard this: oh, we got us a king. A king is coming. And this king who's going to bring us victory, those are based on these strengths: size, status, power, wealth, influence. That's the kind of king that's going to lead us forward. That's the future king who's going to bring victory, peace through violence. Peace through violence. Heads are going to roll. That's going to be a beautiful day. Heads are going to roll. They were going to show one and all throughout the entire world, this is the God, the true strength of the Lord. That's the king that's coming. That's not what God had in mind. No siree. That's not the king who's going to lead them to victory. Mm-mm. Because the one who's to be the ruler in Israel would come that's considered from something that's small, not great in the eyes of humanity. This is coming from Bethlehem, a rural, not urban village. This is a small village. This is where David, I'm emphasizing this, David the peasant was born. Think about that. David the peasant was born in Bethlehem. This is a place of humble beginnings. This is not a place of power. This is not a place of wealth, of human standards. This is the king who's going to come, is going to become one of peace, whose only weapon is gentleness, a weapon of gentleness, the peaceful shepherd. However, how often do we look for peace through victory by the use of weapons, not the kind of gentleness? How often do we have this sense of insecurity like the ancient Israelites had? How often do we look toward perceived seats of power for our rescue, to protect us, give us that sense of peace from what or whom we perceive who's doing us and threatening us because we feel vulnerable? My friends, we know it. We live in times of upheaval. It's just going on. This week alone, right? And I wouldn't say we're the first, and we're not going to be the last, but what happens is when we choose this kind of world, it's not in heaven, as in heaven. These are the fears of life and the emotions that are weighing us down, and there's a myriad of reasons for that. And also, let's understand, when one storm passes and we may be feeling peace for a short while, we got this breather, another storm is on the horizon. When we think, oh God, I've just got this problem, it's solved, there's another one coming. There's another one coming, right? And I was thinking of Melinda. So see, I was thinking of all of you when I'm writing this sermon. Just know that. I was thinking of Melinda, and here's one for you. You know that vacation that you and John just had, right? Right? So when we go on a vacation, it gives us, hopefully, a modicum of peace, right? But that Kauai, Maui high only lasts so long, right? And it does. Everybody going on vacation, you know that. It sadly only lasts so long. This is the kind of peace that comes and it goes. It's temporary. It's like a reprieve. But is that the kind of peace that Christ offers us? And the answer is emphatically no. What Jesus offers us is a peace that is rooted in something much, much deeper. It's a gospel of good news, but it's also that of shalom. 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 I'm thinking about this word this week, and I came across something that was written by Rabbi Robert Kahn, who shared the distinctions between what one would call Roman peace versus God's shalom. And here's what he wrote, and I'm going to share this. One can dictate a peace. Shalom is a mutual agreement. Peace is a temporary pact. Shalom is a permanent agreement. One can make a peace treaty. Shalom is the condition of peace. Peace can be negative, the absence of commotion. Shalom is positive, the presence of serenity. Peace can be partial. Shalom is whole. Peace can be piecemeal. Shalom is complete. You see, the shalom with the Holy One is all-encompassing. Complete wellness. Complete soundness. Complete wholeness. The wholeness of knowing God's grounded hope and steadfast love and constant joy in us and in other people. It's the wholeness that goes beyond mere circumstances. It is the wholeness that allows us to live confidently knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, on a daily basis, that we are part of something that is lasting. It is a peace that can't be destroyed. It is a peace that can't be destroyed. Now, that's a glorious peace that we should all be wanting in our lives. Amen? Now, throughout this sermon series, Pastor Bridey and I, we've mentioned Father Gregory Boyle each of these Sundays and about Homeboy Industries, and this is a place where second chances are given. And I think I was, again, reflecting about Father Boyle one more time this past week, and I truly believe what he is doing and others are doing at Homeboy Industries is he's a godsend. He is a gift. And thank God, God knows what God is doing all the time. That's right. Amen. And I was thinking about these young people who need healing in their lives. These are individuals in need of repairing the harm that has been done to them. These are individuals in which Father Boyle and Homeboy Industries are restoring some justice into what they may have experienced as an unjust situation in their lives since birth. I want you to know about that, since birth. Here's a place where individuals are coming to know peace where they've known little to no peace. In particular, here's a statement that's going to show up on the TV monitors by Father Greg that I love, and it says, "No kinship, no peace. No kinship, no justice. No kinship, no equality." It ties into everything you've been hearing this morning from all the people that have shared something today. Kinship. It's clear Homeboy Industries is grounded in the peace of Christ, the peace that allows them to see good where others can't. This is the promise of shalom that pushes this organization into a place of wholeness, bringing wholeness into lives for others. And they're desperately seeking hope and second chances. And I was thinking of the Bible with Ephesians. And here's this, I love this from Ephesians 2, 14 through 17, which gives us assurance. Reading these words, "Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both to one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. When he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near." When Christ declares his peace to one and all, there's a freedom, my friends, freedom in those words and in the actions of Christ. He is freeing us. And it's like what Courtney's saying when he did so beautifully, that passionate song, boy, he just laid it out. "Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy would come to make you new? That your baby boy would give sight to the blind man, would calm a storm with his hand? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again." And in this kind of freeing up, it's about people bringing other individuals from the margins into the fold of the community so that they can live into the fullness of who they were intended to be. These aren't people without problems, nor are we, but people who are able to handle and live through their problems because they know they are valued and they are supported and because they know they can do the same for others. Those walls have been built up. The peace of Christ says, break them down. Break them down. Because there is to be no separation. There can be no chains that bind us. No chains. We've got to own up and live into what the Apostle Paul has clearly stated in the Epistle to Romans chapter 8. "I'm convinced that nothing could separate us from the love of Christ. God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm convinced nothing, not death or life, angels or rulers, there's no present things or future things, no powers, height, depth, nothing that has been created can separate us from Jesus Christ." What Paul is telling us is separation and chains only bring about fear. It's about fear. Is that what Christ came in to bring us? No. Break it down. Break it down, and he came into this broken and hurting world and tearing down all those barriers. What excludes us and what isolates us from each other so that we can enter into a reconciled community together. That's what God had in mind, and it's about kinship and community. For us to flourish, we've got to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves and to care for each other. And that's where we experience shalom. Before I conclude this morning's message, I want to read you a story that comes from Father Boyle. It's from his book, Barking to the Choir. And I want to read this story. It's beautiful about kinship. And to me, it's about the shalom of God. So here's what he says. And so he talks about a man, his name is Renee. And Renee has had a very bad day. Very bad day. He's in darkness. This is what it says. "Every day before Renee heads to work at Homeboy, he can be found at this bunch, bus bench. An elderly Japanese woman is also there every day. He doesn't know where she goes, maybe a senior center. She's bent over and appears to be too old to work. But everyone makes sure that she has a seat on the bench. Well, the bus arrives, and six or so folks around Renee begin to line up to board. Well, Renee makes sure that the Japanese viejita is ahead of him. As they make their way onto the bus, the old lady turns, and she says to Renee, "I admire you." This is the first time they've spoken. And Renee asks, You do? Why? And she says matter-of-factly, "Well, you eat healthy. Every morning you're here eating fruit, a banana, an apple, today a peach. You eat fruit. So I admire you." Well, Renee helps her climb on the bus, and they buy their tickets, and she sits up front in the senior section. He sits in the back in the unofficial homie section. And he sits there and replays in his mind what the woman has said to him, and he realizes suddenly the funk is gone. And now he can't help himself. He works his way through the morning crush of commuting bodies and finds the Japanese woman, and he gets on one knee and he looks her in the eye. And the woman smiles, she touches Renee's arm, and he returns back to the bus after he says, thank you for bringing so much spirit into my day. Every moment it turns out, you see, my friends, that's an invitation to recognize our interconnectedness. You are the other me, and I am the other you. You are the other me, and I am the other you. You see, dear ones, Christ's peace is not just something about mere contentment. It is the wholeness of heart and life. Christ's shalom is kinship and reconciliation. In Christ, our relationship with God and our relationships with one another are made new. For it is in these restored relationships that we discover the peace of home within the community of God. So let us give thanks that Christ is our peace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we humbly ask that you grant us, and you have given us your peace. Help us to know peace as we pray for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Bring peace to the places of our lives that are filled with worry and regret and pain. And as we live and move in the world, help us to be peacemakers. May we be in loving, supportive kinship with one another, knowing that you are the other me and I am the other you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Shine the town, they do. This Christmas, fireside.
very special Christmas.